Our scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 4. We will read through the verses 1 to 22. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. This is the word of the living God. And God says through his word, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had sat down in the midst, they inquired, 'By what power or by what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with this man? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name.' So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach or at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.' And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old." Let's pray and let's think about this scripture. Oh God, please stay with us, talk to us, use your spirit to open our minds and hearts and listen to your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come again to the book of Acts and again to that moment when Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and they were doing an ordinary act, and God made that act something extraordinary. They went there to pray, but they found a lame man in their way, and they healed that man. And we are here in the moment where they had already finished the first sermon, and a great multitude of people, they came to Jesus Christ and they started to believe in the gospel that was spoken by them. But through this preaching, they received the worst result that some preacher can receive. Here in the first verse of this chapter, we realize that a lot of people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, they came upon them to put them in prison. We have a different reality here from we have in from what happened with Jesus Christ. In the Gospels, we know that the Pharisees were the principal enemies of Jesus. But now we are seeing a new kind of Jews trying to stop the disciples. And the Sadducees are here because, well, the problem, it was not Jesus Christ saying that he was the Son of God. The problem now is because the Sadducees, they denied the doctrine of the Messiah, the doctrine of angels, the idea of immortality, and the resurrections from the dead. So the Sadducees now become the terrible enemies for the church, because they didn't want that the disciples preached that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And now they come with the priests and with the captain of the temple, and they arrested the apostles, and they brought them to a prison, and they led them there for the night. We have here a different situation. They were preaching about something that they say it was happening, but they were not bringing any evidence of this by itself. Like Jesus was not there physically. But we will realize that they had something more with them. They had the acts of Jesus through the church of God. We will see that the book of Acts is based on it. All this book is trying to show us that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, he is sitting in the throne in heaven, and he is still working in his church. Every day, every moment, during all time, he is still working. We cannot see him. You cannot realize the glories of the throne of God. You cannot see with your physical eyes, but he is still working. He is still doing a lot of things among the believers. And they were testimonies. They were testifying that through the healing of the lame man. And they were arrested. They stayed in the jail during the night. And in the next day, they came before these men. We will see that here, the main point is realized that Jesus was the resurrected of God. This reality will be showed us to us through the verses 4 to the verse 13. And we will see that they were brought to the presence of those who had killed Jesus Christ. If you go back to John chapter 18, you will see that Annas was there judging Christ. You will see that Caiaphas was there judging Christ. And the priests were there judging Jesus Christ. And now Peter and John were before, were in front of those who some days ago had killed their master. Only that it would be enough for stop their mouth and to stop their preaching. And in many situations, realities easier than that would be enough to make us stop to preach the gospel. Sometimes we stop to preach because we are ashamed of those who are around us. Sometimes we just say, well, I don't know how to preach, and I don't want to see someone mocking me or something like that, and this is enough. But no, they were in front of those who killed Jesus Christ. And those who killed Jesus Christ, they started to argue about what they were preaching. The verse number 7 will show the questions that they were doing. By what power or by what name did you do this? Here we know that they were not only trying to understand what was happening. First, they knew it that the miracle could not be denied. They were not asking something about this. They knew it. Well, that man was healed, and now he's walking and jumping, and he is showing to everyone that something that it could be impossible for men, now it happened in his life. They were not questioning the miracle, but they were questioning something else. They were saying, well, by what power and by what name? They were coming back to the law of God in Deuteronomy, where they said that anyone who made something, a miracle or a healing, that was not made it by God itself, they should be killed among the congregation. So if Peter or John, if they said, well, I healed by my power, or I made it because my God, another God, he is stronger than your God, or something like that, the priests and the high priest there, they could just kill them and put an end in this discussion. But they were not afraid to answer this question. And what we will see here is something that it's the heart of the book of Acts. It's the pillars of this book. And if we really understand what they are saying here, we will be able to make those things our foundations too. And anything in this world could be able to stop us too. Because they started to say in verse 8, rulers of the people and elders, they started to speak with them. But I just need to bring your attention to something that was written before that, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something that many believers in the world, they don't understand. Many believers in the world think that we received the Holy Spirit in the day we came to Christ. And this is true. We received the Holy Spirit as a church. But the Bible teaches that the Spirit doesn't came over us and fill us completely. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's only possible to do that when you search God, when you give your time to God, when you listen the voice of God in His scriptures, when you pray to God, when you have a relationship to God, and then with that, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a magical moment. We need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And we need to do that. And they were people who make those things. We just saw they went into the temple again to pray, to follow God, and to fill their bodies with the Holy Spirit. And now, with the Holy Spirit, they start to argue. Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? The strategy here was perfect. What is the problem? Are you putting us in jail because we healed this man? Is this not something good? Now, it's against the laws of Israel. Heal a lame man. It's offensive to you. It's an offense to the community of Israel. What is the problem here? He never walked before. Now he's walking and jumping, and you put us on jail because of that? This is a mock trial, and they just show them that. This is absurd. It's not possible that you are bringing us here because we healed this man. But they continue. They continue showing them everything they need to know to see what really happened in Jerusalem and at the temple. Verse 9, by what means, part B, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by he, this man is standing before you all. Do you want to know by what power? Do you want to know by which name? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Do you remember them? Do you remember this name and this person? Of course. They had just crucified Jesus Christ at the cross. They killed him. They spanked him. They humiliate him. They make Jesus a mockery for everyone in Jerusalem. And now they were saying, well, you are responsible for his death. This is not something good to say in a judgment, right? If you are before those who are guilty to kill someone and they are trying to take something from you to maybe kill you too, it's not a good idea to accuse them, saying, well, you are murderers. You are those who are disobeying the commandments of God. You shall not murder. Well, you killed Jesus Christ. And now you are seeing him again. But how that could be possible? And they continue. Whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man is standing before you all. You killed a man. You thought you could stop Jesus Christ. You thought you could make his ministry stop forever. But realize that God is bigger than every power of this world. He just brought him from the dead. Jesus is alive. And he's not only alive, but this man, they had the man next to them, and they probably showed him to them, and they said, he is walking because of Jesus Christ. You cannot contain his power. You cannot fight against him. He is the only power in this world that we can follow. And they will continue in verses 11 and 12. And I really love those verses. They say, this Jesus, verse 11, is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. They were quoting the scriptures for the Jews. They were remembering about Psalm 118, verse 22, where was saying exactly those words. And they were saying, well, the stone who would be rejected and the builders would reject is Jesus Christ. He is the promises of the Old Testament. He's fulfilling of this promise. And now we have a cornerstone. What they were saying is, nothing can be compared to Him. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot go and do anything in this world. We need Him, because without Him, we have no foundations. We need Jesus Christ, because if we just take Him out, we will not have anything. I don't know if you already saw what the liberals among the church, what they try to do. But the first thing they try to do is destroy the cornerstone. Some decades ago, they started to say, well, Jesus is not the Son of God. He's just a human, a man. And they started to write many papers, many dissertations saying that Jesus was the most important man in this world. But He was just a man. And they started to say that Jesus was not resurrected from the dead. They started to destroy their foundations. They started to say, Jesus is not what the Bible says it is. And then, in a short period of time, they lose their faith. Of course, without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. Jesus is the only thing that can sustain us. Without the resurrection, without the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we are lost. And that is why John, in his letters, he would say, if anyone among you says that Jesus was not resurrected from the dead, you should even eat with him. He is not your brother or your sister. No, just know that they are fighting against God. They are not believers. Because without this, we cannot believe in God. He is the resurrected of God. He is the cornerstone. And they continue saying, verse 12, and there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's impossible to say that reality better than this. There is no other name. Doesn't matter what do you love in this world. Doesn't matter which kind of power you admire in this world. Only Jesus Christ can save a life. I don't know what do you feel about your money, about your family, about your husband or your wife, about your children. I don't know what do you think about your country or about anything you can believe, but they cannot save you. They cannot do anything for your life. By the end of our lives, in the day that our body will die, the only thing that can save us from the hell is Jesus Christ, the resurrected of God. Nothing else. You will leave your money here for someone else. Your family will not be your family anymore. Your church will not be your church anymore. You will leave everything. Jesus is the only thing that you will bring with you. Can you realize that? Can you see that the biggest treasure of this earth is Jesus Christ? That's why we have Jesus teaching that if you find a treasure, you should sell everything you have to buy that field and to take the treasure. Because it doesn't matter what you have in this world. The only important thing is Jesus as your Savior and yes, your God. This is the truth. And I know this is not polite. We should not say those things in these days because they will not feel well. Well, if they don't feel well, it's not our problem. We are trying to save them from hell. We need to preach that reality. And they were preaching that to those men. What the Jews believed by this time, that through their works, they could be saved. If they follow the commandments, if they follow all the laws in the Old Testament, they would go to God. And thou, John, Peter, were saying to them, well, realize that you killed him, you made a terrible thing to him, but now you need him. And if you don't follow him, you're lost. You're lost. They knew it, what they believed. But they continue. And now we go to the second part of this sermon that will show us that Jesus is the gift of God to the church. And in verse 13, we will see that reality when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And they perceived that they were uneducated and a common man, and they were astonished. The three verbs here are used to show us that they were being used for something else. They were looking to them and they just saw that they were boldness. This is not what we remember from Peter, right? If you go back in your Bible, you will remember that Peter was not that kind of man. He was afraid. He was running from any pain in his life. And we will see that really they were not uneducated. They were common men. But now they were speaking as academics. They were speaking deep things about God and about the Scripture. And they started to stay astonished because of this. And then the last phrase in this verse show us why that was happening. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. That's the answer. When we walk with Jesus, everything will change. Doesn't matter if you are a common person. Doesn't matter if you are a shame guy or a shame woman, or if you never made something before. Doesn't matter your past. When Jesus is with you, when the Holy Spirit is working in your life, everything will change. Because His power, His greatness, His glory will change us. That is what Jesus made with us. The apostles are the example for that. We remember them in the past. They were fishermen. They were not educated. They were not prepared for their jobs. They were just common people. And what they made? They spread the gospel everywhere. 2,000 years after their lives, here we are because of what they teach. And that was not because of them, but it's because Jesus Christ changed them. Because Jesus Christ changed their minds, their bodies, their feelings, their desires. They were other kind of people after they meet with Jesus. And that is the goal here. We need to see that when the leaders, the elders and the leaders of the temple, the priests, when they saw them, they recognized Jesus. Well, we killed their master, but now they are multiplying. We killed one, now we have two, and later they will see that have 12, and they, later they will see that have thousands and thousands everywhere, because God is changing His church. This is what God does with us. We cannot walk through our journey with Christ being the same. It's not possible. If you are walking with Jesus and you are not changing, if you are not becoming better, if you are not becoming more like Him, and if you are not killing your desires, your sins, you have a problem to deal with. You need to see God changing your life. When you read the scriptures, do you see God changing your heart? Do you see God changing your desires? It's impossible to see the beauty of God, to walk with Him and stay the same. God will change us. Now I have two realities here. He will do that in a good way. You can change, like reading the scripture and changing your heart and following Him. Or you can change through suffering. And many times, we only can change through suffering. That is the reason, because many of us are struggling with tribulations. And I can say that our tribulations, they are not so bad as the tribulations that other believers are fighting against in other places of the world. But still, we have tribulations. And God is trying to change you. And if He's permitting that you fight against this tribulation, trust in Him, follow Him, come close to Him, and let Him work in your life. He's preparing you for something. But don't continue fighting against Him. It will be worse. Believe me. But let's continue. I need to continue. They saw in verses 14 to verse 17, they asked to them to get out, and they start to argue what they will do with those men. What shall we do with them? It's impossible to deny that the man was healed. It's impossible to say that they were not responsible for that. And the people of Jerusalem, they not only saw that happen, but now they were trying to protect them. Like who said, well, they never made something bad. Why are you judging them? The reality of this trial were everywhere in Jerusalem. And they just said, well, let's threat them. Let's say you will not preach this anymore. You will stop to preach. You will not say about Jesus. Or we will kill you. Or we will arrest you. You will pay the price for continue to preaching Jesus Christ resurrected. They decided to do that, and they called Peter and John, and they brought them to the council again, and they start to say that to them, you cannot speak or teach about Jesus. This is what the word is trying to say to the church today. You cannot speak and teach about Jesus anymore. You need to respect the plurality of this word. You need to contain your faith to yourself. Take it to you. Do you want to believe that? Okay. You can believe, but don't spread this reality. Okay? or you will have problems. Believe me, we can have problems for that. But then we see Peter and John answering to them. In verse 19, they say, "What is right?" They call them not as common people, like if they could not judge them, but they call them as the elders of the people. They were saying, okay, you are the priests, you are the elders, the high priests, the Sadducees, you should be prepared. And now I have a question for you. Should us follow your commandments, or should us follow God? If God is doing something in our lives, how could we stop to preach and teach about what we are seeing and hearing? Of course they couldn't. And they said in front of them again, "We will continue to preach and to teach, and if you don't like, just come upon us, but we will follow God." This is a perfect answer. This is the answer that we should say to the world today. Oh, you want us to be polite? I will be very polite with you. I love you so much that I will tell you the truth. Without Jesus Christ, you are lost. If you don't know Him, if you don't trust in Him, if you don't have faith on Him, you will go to the hell. And I don't want that. I want to see you with me in heaven. So follow Jesus Christ. Listen His voice. Without Him, you're lost. This is what the church needs to say to this world. Because it's the only thing we can have. It's the only treasure. They continue to threaten them in verse 21. But to go to the end, we'll go to the verse 22. "And the man on whom the signs of healing was performed was more than 4 years old. He was there, the man was there next to them, sawing everything that was happening." And we need to look to this man in the end, and we need to understand what is happening there. For many of us, the best thing that this man received that day, it was his healing. But it was not. The healing was a small part of the blessings that he received. That man started to believe in Jesus Christ. He became a Christian. He started to spread with the apostles that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and he was there walking and jumping and going everywhere because of Jesus. Well, it doesn't matter if he stopped to walk again. If he have Jesus Christ, he have the most precious gift that anyone can have in this world. This is the blessed of this man. This is the gift that God gave to him. The gift is Jesus Christ. And we have this gift too. We have our faith in him. So we know that doesn't matter what happened in our lives, he will stay with us forever. What a gift. What a precious gift. But let's conclude. Now we need to think about this reality. And I will make a short conclusion because our time is going to an end. But think about the good news that you have in your life. When you have, when you receive the new job, what do you do with this notice? Usually, if you have a new job, you start to call everyone. You call to your parents, oh, I got a new job. I will receive more money. I will work better. It will be amazing. Then you start to call to your friends and you talk to your family. You start to talk to the church. Oh, it will be amazing. I have a good news. When your wife or when your grand or when your daughter is pregnant, you stay amazing. Oh, it's good. I will tell everyone. My wife is pregnant. Yay! We will have another children. It's amazing. I need to tell everyone. I will publish a picture in Facebook. I will publish a picture in Instagram. And they will say, everyone, wow, good news. Good news, right? And then we have the better, the best, the most amazing good news here. God sent us His Son. He killed for our sins. He is resurrected from the dead. And He paid the price of our lives. This is the bad notice you will have in your life. And what we do with this notice? Are you calling everyone to say, I have a good news? God save me from my sins. Are you publishing everywhere? God save me from my sins. Or we are hiding the best notice to ourselves. This is what we will see in this book. They could not stop to speak about Jesus because there is nothing better than Jesus in our lives. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. We acknowledge that we are guilty of Christ's debts too. And because we are guilty, we ask you grace and forgiveness upon us so we can walk in your ways and glorify your name. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God, and help us to live for you. And may we can see the beauty of God, the beauty of your gospel, the beauty of having Jesus Christ as our Savior. And may we can spread the good news everywhere. Stay with us. Bless our lives.